Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show. Fox Sports Radio. Made it. Right? It's like you're sitting down in a plane and you know, and I'm one of these guys that likes the door to hit me on the butt when they close for the plane. Even if I'm in group one, I want to enter the plane in group 99, right? But collectively, made it. That's what happened. We made it. We made it here. We made it to football season. There will be people in Tampa. The Super Bowl champions will take on the Dallas Cowboys in a couple of hours, and we made it. I don't know if you did anything. I didn't do much, right? Not much. But we made it. And here's what's crazy about tonight's game. The game's actually 2 years in the making, right? Because during the pandemic, thank you, Lord, baby 6 pound, 8 ounce Jesus, that we had Tom Brady leave the Patriots for the Buccaneers. Thank you, same 6 pound, 11 ounce baby Jesus for Dak Prescott, which carried so many, not this show, but so many shows last offseason and into the, you know, up until he signed the contract extension. But the two quarterbacks were the two most discussed players in the NFL last offseason, and now they play tonight. And I had this analogy, which was so good, I'm going to share it with you again. And so if you heard it before, one, I know you liked the show because you tuned in again. If you didn't, listen up. Tom Brady is Brussels sprouts. Brussels sprouts. You go back 20 years ago, okay, nobody orders Brussels sprouts as an appetizer, let alone they weren't even on the menu. Now it's like, man, Brussels sprouts, that sounds delicious. A little balsamic glaze. Some people put bacon in it. You can bake it. You can fry it. Flash fry is usually how they do it. It's crispy. It's good. It's yummy. I will tell you that the restaurants that do it the best, or if you do it at home, shave that stuff up, get it as thin as possible, a little olive oil, salt, pepper, bake it for 20 minutes or so till it's just a little bit brown and the bitterness is mostly gone. It's fantastic. Fantastic. The point, though, is that Tom Brady, like Brussels sprouts, was hated in a previous life. Like I was, and I've never been a Patriot fan. I just respect the Patriots. But with the whole Deflategate thing, I was like, what a joke. But most people thought the Patriots were cheaters, and Tom Brady was the head of the cheaters or the second lieutenant, the lieutenant for the cheaters, as Belichick was in charge. And you hated him. He was better looking, more successful, married to a supermodel, and he knew it, and you felt like he's arrogant. His image has done a 180, and all he's done is switch teams, go to Florida, win a championship. I think back. 2016, he had a MAGA hat in his locker, and people were like, could Tom Brady be any worse? There were some people that were anti-MAGA were like, bro, cheats with the Deflategate, Trump guy won't own it, doesn't, you know, all these different things you say about him. Now you're like, I like Tom Brady. Who doesn't like Tom Brady? Tom Brady's awesome. And then, of course, you have the Cowboys. And the Cowboys are easily the most discussed, hyped, talked about team. Last year was about Dak. He breaks his leg. He gets a contract extension, even though he barely plays. And for the last 2 years, they've massively underachieved as a team. And then they're on Hard Knocks. Now they're on two of the biggest football games of the early season, this week in Tampa, next week in L.A. By the way, the Bucs are plus 700 to win the Super Bowl. They're favorites. They're plus 300 to win the NFC. The over-under on wins is 12. Remember, there's 17 games. Tom Brady is plus 140 to win the MVP, and the Bucs are 200-1 to go undefeated. And if they win tonight, 150-1 to go undefeated. By the way, the line keeps creeping up in favor of the Buccaneers. They're 8.5-point favorites, 51.5 over-under. I saw that one on Bet Rivers. Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Tom Brady is Brussels sprouts. You used to hate him, and now you like him. Now you're like, I can't believe I find myself liking Tom Brady. Like, his jersey sales are still top five. And you're like, really? Yeah. Yeah, now he's become the 40-plus-year-old white dad who gets hammered on a boat and then comes stumbling off going, hey, man, how you doing, man? Good times, man. Had the knee brace on, like Gottlieb having knee surgery. What's missed is last year, two things are missed. One, we always talk about how, you know, half the teams in the playoffs don't make them the next year. The truth is, though, that while repeating is hard, getting deep in the playoffs really isn't. It's a handful of, I mean, Kansas City won it 2 years ago, got to the Super Bowl last year, and should have gotten to the Super Bowl the year before that. And the connector, obviously, is coaching and Mahomes. Look at how many Super Bowls recently Tom Brady has been in. Go and look, and while the Ravens have only won one playoff game with Lamar, here they are in the playoffs on a yearly basis. Seattle, constant in the playoffs. Green Bay, when Aaron Rodgers is healthy, in the playoffs. You know, the teams are the teams. The dudes are the dudes. And everybody else is a little bit more topsy-turvy. But what we've missed on is not just that the really good teams have actually found a way to maintain some consistency. What we missed on was the other story to last year was injuries. It just was. And Tampa, though they have everybody back and they're loaded, they really avoided most major injuries. Kansas City could not. That's why they couldn't block. The Packers lost their best offensive lineman. The Ravens lost Ronnie Stanley. So David Bakhtiari, Ronnie Stanley. Think of how many guys. The Cowboys lost Dak Prescott. You know, McCaffrey was out. McCaffrey played three games for the Carolina Panthers. Go around the league. Last year's story, a lot like the NBA and the NFL, was about injuries. Injuries changed how good teams were, and not having fans changed home field advantage and kind of eliminated it. So much like the bubble year in the NBA might not have given us the true sense of how good anyone actually was or if the Lakers were actually the best team, even though they were the best in the bubble, the same can be said for last year's Super Bowl champion. Yeah, they put some fans in the stands in Lambeau, but it wasn't a packed house, and they didn't have David Bakhtiari. Yeah, they had some fans in the stands at the Super Bowl in Tampa, but it wasn't a full house, and Kansas City was missing four offensive linemen. By the way, if you were the big concern with Tampa in terms of repeating as champions is the disease of me. Tony Gonzalez, Hall of Fame tight end, joined us yesterday. He said this about what Tom Brady really brings to the organization.
The thing about Tom is he's obviously one of the greatest players of all time, greatest athletes of all time, and he has that respect of the locker room. Being 44 years old, doing what he's done, they're going to follow his lead. If Tom's doing it, you damn well better make sure that you're doing it too. And Tom checks all the boxes as far as being a great leader.
Yeah, no, look, I get it. Like, you know, Tom Brady knows how to win. And guys, he automatically makes you think you're going to win even when you shouldn't. It's an amazing thing. And that's the thing about sports, which we can all connect with. If you're a fan of a crummy team, you watch a game and you're like sitting there and waiting for them to find a way to lose. Right? Ask yourself, whichever crummy team you're a fan of, I guarantee that's how you watch a game. I've been a Charger fan for 20 years. Actually, more than 20 years. In the mid-90s when they left, when everybody else left LA, I became a Charger fan. So you're talking nearly 25 years. And if you watch the Chargers, you sit there and go, somebody's going to get hurt, or we're going to find a way to lose this game. That's what happens. Tom Brady flips that in a 180. He's going to find a way to win, even if he's not playing well or they're not playing well. That's what happened in the second half against Green Bay. It's one of the most remarkable things that you're going to ever find in sports are guys that just, they find a way to win. They find a way to lead their team and make people believe that they can be better than they really are. And then the other part of tonight's game, which is fascinating, is not just that Brady finds a way to win, or he's like Brussels sprouts, or that we have the two most hyped guys from last offseason, or the hype of the Cowboys continues, even though they haven't really been anything special in terms of playoffs in more than 25 years. The other part about it, which is interesting, is the miracle of modern science and technology. Tom Brady's in his mid-40s, still playing at a high level, and Dak Prescott broke his leg in half, and here he is fine. The only thing we're worried about is his shoulder, not his leg. So, we made it. This is you're headed to the airport. You're supposed to get there an hour before. You leave an hour and 20 before. You find a way to just sprint, get on the plane right as the door is closing. You sit down, you brush off the sweat, and you go, we made it. And there's some amazing stuff to discuss, which we will all season, including wait to hear what Ja'Marr Chase had to say. Discover matches all the cash back you earn your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover is accepted 99% of the places in the U.S. to take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen report. Limitations apply. Ja'Marr Chase has one theory on why he can't catch the Duke. You'll hear it. Next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a great day. Football is back. Huh? How good is that? Ja'Marr Chase, the super talented first-round pick out of LSU. Remember, didn't play football last year. He opted out, and then he becomes the key weapon for Joe Burrow, or at least on paper, thought the number one wide receiver for Joe Burrow. Burrow is struggling to come back confidence-wise from the torn ACL, and Chase has been mired in a slump of drops, really, here in the preseason. This was Ja'Marr Chase when he was asked why he's having issues catching the football.
The ball is different because it's bigger, of course. Another reason is it's different because it doesn't have the white stripes on the side, so you can't see the ball coming in from the tip of the point. So now you actually have to look for the strings on the ball at the top, which is a little hard to see because the whole ball is brown, and then you have like six strings that's white. But for the most part, you know what I'm saying, you just got to get used to it.
Jay Stu, I take it from our discussion, you don't buy any of that, right? You don't buy any of it.
I think it's one of those things that you think but you don't say out loud. Seems like a rookie mistake to me.
Ramos, are you cackling in the background? What do you think of what Ja'Marr Chase says?
I mean, come on. You know, it's the ball has. I mean, it's a football. I mean, that's like saying a baseball. Like, I can't tell the baseball because it doesn't look the same as it did like 5 years ago. It's like it's really not a very good excuse. If that's what it was, I think it was, right? An excuse. It's not very good.
All right, Dan Beyer, where are you on Ja'Marr Chase?
Oh man, I don't buy that for a second. I don't buy it for a second.
Just so we're aware, he is right. Obviously, there are stripes on the college ball, and the college ball is slightly smaller. It's an inch smaller in circumference, a half inch smaller in length. The NFL ball is called the Duke. Remember, that was the old Andrew Luck in his comeback year. The year before he retired, he hadn't thrown the Duke all off season and then didn't pick up the Duke until like 2 weeks before they're actually going to play. So the NFL ball is bigger, and it doesn't have the white stripes, and it is, I would guess, harder to catch, easier to pick up, right? So there is part of me that says he's actually telling the truth. Well, we know he's telling the truth. If you're that good, you're not supposed to have an issue with it. I, I don't actually have a problem with what he's saying. Like, he's got to get better, and this is what he's struggling with. He's struggling with picking it up. Like, do you remember, I was talking about this with a fan buyer, where, do you remember when the Cardinals, St. Louis Cardinals baseball team, because, again, this is how old you are. If I say St. Louis Cardinals and you only think baseball, well, then you're not 40 years old, right? Because St. Louis Cardinals, yeah. You got Daryl Green, right? I remember Daryl Green used to, he was their signature player.
Roy and Green. Then, yeah,
Roy Green. Yeah. Sorry. Roy Green. Daryl Green was the Washington Redskins. Roy Green was their star wide receiver. Other than that, kind of a nondescript team. They had, I never liked, and I still, the all-white helmets, just, you know, you need a red, I didn't like the gray face masks. Anyway, Roy Green was their star wide receiver. They weren't very good, but they played at Busch Stadium, right? The old Busch Stadium, which was a lot like, you know, Three Rivers Stadiums and all those.
Yeah, cookie Cincinnati. Cutters. Yeah.
They were all cookie cutter, multi-purpose, round stadiums. Anaheim Stadium was like that. Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Cleveland was a little bit older, Memorial, obviously. So was Milwaukee. People forget the Packers used to play two games a year in Milwaukee every year, right? So anyway, but I remember baseball at the old Busch Stadium. One, Willie McGee would always play the outfield, and he had like the longest neck I'd ever seen. And it was, the turf was 30 degrees hotter than wherever the air temperature was in St. Louis. And it was usually hot in the summer, like, baseball in Ballantyne, Mel Allen here, right? And they would have games at Busch Stadium, and like Willie McGee's running, and it looked like his cleats were going to melt. And there was almost, you know, that kind of that wavy, you know, when you're in the desert, that kind of wavy look, it's so hot. Yeah. That's what it looked like at Busch Stadium. But I remember Pop Fly, Dodger Stadium is the same place, same way, where Dodger Stadium, you can't pick up the baseball because of time of the game, everybody wearing a white shirt, and just the layout of it, and guys have trouble picking up the ball. They just do. They have trouble picking up the football, the baseball. And Old Busch Stadium, I believe, was notorious for that, in that it is already hot, and whatever the layout was, almost every game you would watch there, somebody, it doesn't mean they would drop it, but they would have a trouble between the sun, the shadows, and then people wearing white shirts picking up pop flies.
I could give Ja'Marr Chase a little leeway, being like, this is, it's tough to adjust to. In baseball, a lot of times, maybe it's the road team that has trouble, unless you're hitting it, you know, into the Homer Dome roof and you can't decipher ball and what's roof. However, Ja'Marr Chase also sat out the 2020 college football season to, guess what, Doug? Prepare for the NFL draft.
Right. And what do you do when you prepare for the NFL draft?
Well, you know, you get physically ready, but you should also probably get ready with the football that you're going to use. So, you know, I'd love to say that I think it's, you know, that, yeah, there's something to it. When Odell Beckham just puts on a pregame show of doing one-handed catches, I just don't know what Ja'Marr Chase has any leg to stand on when it comes to this. Plus, he had more time to adjust to it than most anybody did.
Correct. Listen, Dan Byer, you are officially a great mind because great minds think alike. That was my exact thought, was I can tell him it is, in fact, bigger. It is, in fact, harder to pick up. Nothing that he's saying is wrong. Okay? But, dude, you didn't play last year. You didn't play for you because you said, I want to get ready for the NFL. And, you know, outside of guys like me, you get everybody else, you don't need college football. They're just using you to make money and whatever. Okay. Okay. If you're going to prepare for the NFL, prepare for the NFL. The only thing you should be catching is the Duke. Now, if he were to say, like, hey, I spent last year trying to get ready, and I struggled catching it, and now I really want to prove myself, and maybe I'm trying too hard. But to give me the football is different because of the width, the circumference, because of the length, because of the lack of stripes, all of which are true, but then fail to mention you spent a year clearly not doing what you needed to do. I can't really help you, bud. Will you make it home in time, Dan, for to watch the kickoff? Of
yes,
the game?
Yeah, I should be there. You know, probably arriving at home depending on traffic. Okay. About 20 minutes, you know, before kickoff.
So your beautiful baby's first football scene. Does he have a fantasy? Is he in a fantasy league?
Not yet. But.
How can the guy who hosts I Want Your Flex not have his baby in a fantasy league?
That's true. That's a bad job by me. I failed.
Yes. Well, as long as you admit it. I mean, that's the first part of fixing a problem.
So he hasn't paid his entry fee. That's why. That's why he's
not. That's really what it is. He said he Venmo'd you. That's what he said. He said he Venmo'd you. You use the Cash App. He Venmos you. Ramos, will you be home in time to watch the game?
Yeah. Lucas has a pitching lessons tonight, too, at 5. So I'll watch it on my phone while he's pitching.
Okay. Byer, what's your setup going to be like tonight?
It's just the living room TV. Yeah,
I know, but is Lisa making anything special? You guys ordering out?
No. Actually, I'm going to throw some chicken on the grill and get that going for tonight.
All right.
Because it's almost expired. Like, tonight is the night I have to make.
Tonight. How many days do you wait? What's your max?
I usually will take the you know, what the date is on the package, but maybe I'll let it slide a day if it doesn't smell.
I do the smell test. Mine's all smell test. Yeah. All smell test. Now, when you go shopping, do you check the dates when you shop to get the freshest?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, with milk and, anything.
Brandon Whedon joins us, former Dallas Cowboy quarterback. Of course, joins us weekly here on the Doug Gottlieb Show. Now a superstar color commentator for ESPN as well. Called his first Oklahoma State football game. Get to that in a second. So what's your setup tonight watching the game?
Well, I probably won't be able to catch any of it until the second half. We've got my youngest has a doubleheader, and my oldest has a game at 6. So I'll probably be getting home, about 8:30. So I'll probably be tuning in right about the time, halftime, or maybe the start of the third quarter.
All right. When you sit down.
I'll just be at the house, man, sitting on the couch probably by myself.
How long will you wait after buying chicken before you throw it on the grill? Buyer said couple days. I'm like a 3-day guy. Like 3 days is like, got to really smell it. 2 days is about my limit. How long will you wait?
I'm with you. 2 days. If I buy it today, if I don't cook it tonight and I don't cook it tomorrow, it's, in my opinion, it's trashed.
And on the grill, what's your, like you say you're throwing chicken on the grill. Well, what's your game like? What do you do to your chicken?
So I got this rub. It's actually made here in Oklahoma City. I wish I can remember the name of it. But it's a little rub. I don't even know what all is in it, to be honest with you. But it's pretty good. You know, sometimes I used to do it in that like a dressing. What's it called? Vinegar. The vinegar dressing is. Yeah. But man, it's hard. I can't control the flame sometimes, and you know the tips get burnt because of all the sugar and all that. So I kind of went to this rub, and it's kind of foolproof, man. I get it pretty evenly cooked throughout. It's chicken's not easy. It's not my favorite to cook.
No. But Byer, are you with it? Do you do a dry rub or do you do dry seasonings on your chicken?
Yeah, no, I'll put a little rub on a little while beforehand, just about an hour beforehand, so it doesn't soak too much of anything up.
Yeah, because I'll do like lemon juice, garlic, salt and pepper, and maybe a little olive oil as well. But the problem with that is same thing. The flame, if you don't have it just right, the flame will jump up and it'll get blackened. So I've become almost always a dry seasoning sort of duty as well. I got lots of different rubs in my house. And a rub is like, it's like the Bengay of chicken. It's everybody kind of likes it, right? It's always makes you feel a little bit better. All right, we're all good with our chicken grilling stuff. Cowboys are 8.5-point dogs. That's a lot of points for a team that likes to carry itself as talented as anybody else in football. Why do you think Vegas sees this as essentially a blowout?
That does seem like quite a few points. I think, you know, you got the Tom Brady Super Bowl, reigning Super Bowl champ effect. You got the Zach Martin being out effect. I think that, you know, when people think about the Dallas Cowboys offense, you know, the productivity, especially in the run game, has not been there when he's been out. He's a difference maker. To be honest, I just don't think people are sold on the Dallas Cowboy defense yet. I think that's kind of the main thing. I just don't think that they've got enough on tape to think Vegas is to make them think that they're for real. So it does seem like a lot of points. It's in Tampa. You know, they've obviously got everybody back with that Tampa defense. I mean, it's one of those games that I feel like could come down the last few possessions, or I mean, it could get out of hand early. This one's tough. When there's that many points, you know, if I were betting, I would obviously shy away. That seems like a lot of points for an NFL football game.
What does Dak do best as a quarterback? Yeah, I know about the leadership, but as a player, right? Like, everybody has things they do best. We know Brady has to stand tall in the pocket and great on those underneath option routes and whatever. What does Dak actually do best as a thrower?
You know, I think he's gotten better at this. I think he's gotten better at, you know, kind of throwing the deep ball, throwing the ball more accurately. I don't think he was very accurate a couple of years ago, but I think he's come a long ways, in my opinion. Obviously, he stands in there. He's obviously a very tough dude. But, you know, where I think he becomes a kind of a factor and becomes a threat is, you know, when you get down there inside maybe the 10, 12-yard line, and, you know, then he becomes a, you know, a fear to kind of, you know, a threat to run, you know, whether it be zone read, you know, and kind of getting some tricky formations where it makes it tough on them to be gap sound. But, I mean, first and foremost, I mean, I think he's improved his accuracy. And his, you know, he throws the ball pretty accurately. I mean, is he Drew Brees? Absolutely not. But he's, in my opinion, that's one thing he has gotten better at over the course of his career.
All right, what about Brady? Is it the accuracy and the option routes? Or when you see Brady and people say, man, he's better at this than anybody who's ever played sport. Take the leadership aside. I understand how he understands how to win games and how to motivate people. But as a quarterback, what's he do best?
I think he is one of the best at anticipating. I think he anticipates. He knows coverage. He knows what it, you know, how to attack each coverage. He knows matchups. He knows leverage. So that allows him to play faster and anticipate throws. You know, getting the ball out on time. And you know, knowing where to throw guys, maybe throw them open or, you know, pull a guy downhill if he's throwing a ball to the sideline, you know, pull him down toward the sideline or, you know, sometimes on those deep crossing routes, you know, he's able to kind of flatten those guys. You know, he's got such a good feel, you know, for what he's trying to do with his guys. I mean, he's just, you know, he's accurate. I mean, one of the most amazed I've ever been in my life. We were playing in New England in the playoffs. I was actually inactive and I've just kind of was at midfield, and I turned around there doing routes on air with the receivers, and he threw like this called a bang eight. It's like a little five-step slant, and it looked like someone just rewound it and played it. I mean, it was just boom, 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 and he hit in the same spot every single time. He probably threw six of them in a row, and I was like, gosh, dang. He's a machine back there. His feet seem to always be in control of whatever route he's throwing, and he's got, where he gets little – haywire is when, you know, they hit him often and early and they're really pushing the pocket through the center, you know, through the A gaps. I mean, coming that internal pressure, if you will, that's where he kind of has his faults, in my opinion. But if he's got a clean pocket, he anticipates with the best of them.
All right. You spoke of people not buying in yet to the Cowboys defense. Okay. That Cowboys defense, you know, comes in the form of Dan Quinn, right? It's I'll tell you the layman. And you tell me what a quarterback really sees, really feels. Here's what I've heard about it, right? They don't blitz, right? It's 4-3. They rush 4. And obviously very physical in the defensive backfield when it's at its best, like it was in Seattle. Is that an accurate – now, is it man is primarily, zone primarily? What Dan Quinn's style of defense, what is it to the actual NFL starting quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, they don't try to trick you. Like you said, they don't blitz. They're a single high team, so they're going to have one safety in the middle of the field majority of the time. You know, they've shown variations where they'll play some man on the outside with the corners, you know, in some formations, and they'll play man to kind of zone off everything in the inside. But what they do, we called it sloop when I was in Houston. They'll play single high safety. Corners will be – they can be pressed. And they'll bail, and they'll kind of run out of it, and they have the deep third on the essentially outside the numbers. And then they will take those linebackers or safeties, whoever's kind of down the box, and we called it slooping or not buzzing because buzzing's coming down, but kind of buzzing, I guess, if you will, to the flats underneath all those, you know, outbreaking or those curl-type routes you're throwing to the field or to the boundary. So basically the corners are able to run out of there. So if you want to run vertical-type routes, we call it overlap, where the corner can kind of play the slot. If it's a two-by-two set, let's say, and then run two verticals, he can kind of overlap and look at number two, which would be the slot receiver. But, yeah, I mean, it's single high safety. It's got a lot of zone elements. They will mix in. They'll sprinkle in some man. You know, I played against Dan Quinn when he was in Atlanta, and I got crushed for it. But, you know, during that week, you know, you have to throw the ball underneath. There's a few little pockets in that defense that are able, you're able to exploit, you know, which is, I would say, outside the tackles, maybe to the numbers. We call it the jolt hole. It's right there about, I don't know, from the line of scrimmage to about the 10 yards deep. So it's hard to get shots over the top of them. So you're going to have to be patient and kind of take what they give you. The running backs are going to be involved. But, you know, that was my main thing. You know, Scott Linehan and the coaching staff that week, I started and said, Brandon, you might complete 10, 12, 15 balls to the backs, but that's how you have to attack this defense. So that's what I did, and I got crucified for it, but it is what it is. That's the way they play defense, and they're not going to try to trick you. They're just going to try to be sound, to be good at what they do. And his track record's been pretty solid.
Wasn't that big comeback that they had, right, where you guys were – it was just super conservative game. And by the way, it feels like that jolt hole, is that the exact same route that you were talking about Brady throws like a machine? Isn't that where you throw the football?
Exactly. Yeah, and that's it. You know, you have a little space over the football, which he likes to do with Gronk, and it's tied in. So, yeah, I mean, you know, some of the stuff that Tampa likes to do is it fits perfect to attack that defense, in my opinion. So, yeah, that was the game. They came back and beat us, and it was a lot of quick game. I think I took a shot on the first play of the game, but there weren't a ton of shots down the field. We had to get in some kind of exotic formations to take our shots, and that one made me sick. They came back and played a little better in the second half. But, you know, it's not a complicated defense, but, you know, he did really well in Seattle because he had two big, physical, long, rangy corners that could press and play man and also get out of there and still play zone. So it'll be an interesting little matchup.
Brandon Weeden, our guest on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Okay, same question. Tampa, right? Tampa's defense. Everyone talks about how good Todd Bowles is. Obviously, he was in Arizona previously, and then he was the head coach of the Jets, and now he's done a marvelous job with Tampa. What do they do defensively? What is Dak Prescott going to look at?
You know, when I played against Todd Bowles, it was basically the complete opposite. You know, he's going to try to eat his big deal, and a lot of defense corners like to blitz. You know, they're trying to break protection. So if a tendency is in a 3-by-1 formation that this team likes to run a bunch of 6-man protections with the back offset weak, you know, tendencies say that you have one or two protections. So they're going to try to exploit and attack those protections. So Todd Bowles, in my opinion, is really good at that. He was in Arizona when I played against him. And he had some linebackers that could really run, that could really cover. But they put a bunch of pressure on us. I mean, they came after us. Obviously, they're trying to stop the run with DeMarco Murray. But, yeah, I would say kind of different. He plays a little bit more split safety, too deep at times. You just don't know exactly what you're going to get like you do with Dan Quinn. But I would say he just got a little bit more aggressive nature, if you will. I think he's just he doesn't sit back. He's not going to just let you, you know, sit back there and pat the ball if you're the quarterback. He's gonna come after you and try to make you feel a little bit more uncomfortable.
Last thing, called your first game. Oklahoma State wins. Spencer Sanders, their starting quarterback, doesn't play because of COVID stuff. How'd it feel? What was it like?
It was fun. I had an absolute blast. Thankfully you spoke, you know, me and you spoke that Saturday and you gave me some pointers, so I do appreciate that. But I already talk pretty fast, even right here. I think I get to talking pretty fast, so I got to slow down. That was the first thing that kind of jumped out at me. I thought I brought up a lot of really good points. I didn't have a telestrator, so I wasn't able to get on there and actually show what I was saying sometimes.
Yeah,
so maybe,
it's hard.
You know, if you're listening, yeah, it was tough because, you know, I knew this was going to be an issue. You know, I threw out the zero blitz and I threw out a couple, you know, football terms that I thought maybe might confuse some people, and didn't really have the resources with the telestrator to back it up. So I gotta be a little bit more generic, if you will, not dumb it down, but just a little more generic and explain what I'm saying. But I would say the first quarter, maybe first quarter and a half, you know, especially that first drive, it went really fast. Oklahoma State was on the ball. They were attacking. There were no huddle, and it was really fast. I was talking really fast. But once I slowed down and had more of a more of, I would say, a conversation with Courtney, the girl I was calling it with. I think, you know, I thought we did better as the game went on. So first time in the booth, first time ever putting a headset on, not really knowing what to expect. There was some good in there. There's some things I definitely obviously got to clean up, but yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm at K-State this week, so I get another shot at it, and at least now I kind of know what to expect.
Great stuff, dude. Well, safe travels. I'll give you I'll send you a text here on what I was watching some of it earlier today. We'll talk soon, but your breakdown of what we're going to see tonight was fantastic. I can't tell you how much I appreciate it, and enjoy those boys' games, and make sure you don't burn the chicken tonight.
All right, bud. Take care.
That's Brandon Whedon. When a train hits a vehicle at a railway crossing, the results are often deadly. Be cautious at crossings. Even the signals are going. Don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks, dummy. Stop. Trains can't. Paid for by NHTSA. We get our top picks to win the Super Bowl next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Hey, it's Ben, host of the 5th Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is the 5th Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of the Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to the 5th Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Let's get to a game.
This is game time.
It's game time.
On the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Want to look like $1 million, but only spend a handful of bucks? Upgrade Dollar Shave Club 6-blade razor for a noticeably smooth shave thanks to their 6 precision-cut stainless steel blades. Find your perfect shave wherever you shop. In-store, online at DollarShaveClub.com. It's DollarShaveClub.com. Dan Beyer, what's the game today?
Doug, the game is...
Ugh, I feel a draft.
Right, gotta go real quick. I apologize for going too long with Brandon Whedon.
Yeah, 2-round draft. Teams that will win Super Bowl 56. John Ramos is on the clock, followed by Doug, me, then Jay Stu, and then we will reverse it back. Ramos, you're up.
Well, at 2 minutes to go, I'll take the Rams.
Ooh, the Rams. Right off the board, Rams number one. Doug at number two.
I'll go with the Packers.
Ah, interesting. I know Kansas City's still there, but I don't have them winning the AFC. I will take the Buffalo Bills at number three.
Popular team.
I can't believe you guys let the Bucks fall to me and the Chiefs. So at the turn, I'll get the Chiefs and the Bucks, the two really teams good. Favored to win the Super Bowl. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you're Ramos with his Rams one.
Welcome aboard. Glad to, you know, we want you to be a part of the family. I'm up at number six. This is a really quick draft. Give me the Cleveland Browns.
Not taking your Seahawks, huh?
No. I'm really higher on the Browns.
No, the Browns are good. Let's see who's left here that I'm thinking in terms of favorites. Let's see here.
By the way, I will have some tough news on the Ravens.
Yeah, there's major news in the NFL. That's actually what distracted me a little bit. We will get to it at the top of the hour. I know who I'm gonna take. I will take the. I'm going to take the Tennessee Titans.
Ooh.
I'll take the Chargers.
All right. There it is.
Homer!
Quick draft.
Don't! Actually, this is perfect, okay? People have forgotten what the NBA was about last year. The NFL has already becoming about. Dan Beyer is going to have news at the top of the hour. You do not want to miss it, okay? And I will tell you why that is such a major factor and why I don't pick futures because of it. It's Doug Gottlieb Show.